Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm just going to refresh the screen here and see what the temperature is. 38 now, and a lot of sunshine. It seems extra sunny in here, though, Peggy, because of the reflection off the tanks.
It's splendid.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good feeling. Spring has sprung here. Is it true in Fairbanks? Has spring sprung?
Things are beginning to melt, but the ice is still thick on the river.
Okay. Any crocuses or anything like that yet happening?
not quite yet.
Okay. My guest this morning, my celebrity guest co-host in the second part of Morning Edition, is Peggy Shoemaker. She's Alaska's writer laureate. She's visiting Sitka from Fairbanks, and what a treat to have you here.
Well, thanks so much, Rob.
Peggy. And you've agreed to co-host, which I'm sure when the idea was first, when you were first approached with the idea, you thought it would be this incredible honor and everything, but you didn't know that we were going to put you to work and make you actually promote what's coming up in our celebration of radio.
I think
today.
That's a fun thing to do. By the way, should we acknowledge the people who've pledged?
Yes, yes.
This is so cool. Cecil Jones said, I'm Brendan Jones's dad, and he congratulates Raven Radio on great program, and he particularly likes Raven Anthology.
Yes, Brendan's doing a great job with that
show. Yeah, and then Mark and Phyllis Hackett gave, thank you so much, and they said, great job, everyone.
Yeah, and thanks to Mark and Phyllis, two important members of our community. Phyllis on the assembly, Mark, a pilot here in Sitka, could not get by without either of those.
That's right.
Incredible folks. KCAW.org is how folks are pledging. We're going to have our big telephone marathon all day, one day, you know, pedal to the metal drive tomorrow. You can help us shorten that undertaking by pledging online now at KCAW.org. And these pledges bring us up to $36,380, well on our way towards $85,000, which is where we hope to be by the end of the day tomorrow. 278 pledges out of what we think will be around 750 by
Terrific.
The time this is done.
Thank you to everybody in Sitka who's listening. And I'd like to say a special shout out and hello to the people of Pelican, and hi to Linda Addy, and to all the women who came to talk about their writing when I went to the Pelican Library.
All right. Was that a recent trip?
No, it's been a while ago, but I remember very well Pelican and flying over by Elfin Cove and seeing the people in that area.
All right. Well, I have a good feeling. I bet your shout out hit the mark. I'd probably
lay money on
that. Anyway.
So, you want to hear what's coming up?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is Thursday, April 12th, and from 9 to 10, Gary and Ernie are going to be coming into the studio for live jams. What do Gary and Ernie play?
Gary plays the harmonica,
I
believe. Yeah, the harmonica, and Ernie plays the bass, and Ted is mandolin and guitar, and they all sing. It's going to be great.
Now, was that the Ted who was just here a few minutes ago?
No, this is a different Ted.
A different Ted. Well, good. We'll look for Ted and Ernie and Gary and enjoy listening. Later on, Songs About Grace and Crystal, hosted by Crystal and Grace on Dies Corvidae from 10:30 to noon. Thanny Bean joins the Jenks Brothers for a special look at mandolin music through the ages from 2 to 4 this afternoon. Now, you have a lot of bluegrass and mandolin
in
Sitka. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time I was here, there were mandolin and many other players out on the porch just of this building playing music. When does that happen? Does it still happen?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a string-playing town. It's Sunday morning. There's usually a jam in the cafe downstairs, and when the weather gets nice, you know, they commandeer the porch.
That's pretty wonderful.
That's fine, yeah.
Who's going to complain?
Mm-hmm.
Trish and Terry present classical music, beautiful classical music, from 6:30 to 8 this evening. Then we have Mike and Eco Sullivan performing live on Night Jazz from 8 to 10. And later on, if you are up this late, from 10 to midnight, guest musicians Satin Buffalo perform on college radio.
All right. A full day to celebrate radio, celebrate community broadcasting, and the things we enjoy about this community and what the radio station contributes to our civic life. One other sort of announcement just before we get into a conversation with Peggy about what she's doing in Sitka and what she hopes to accomplish during her tenure as Alaska Writer Laureate. I wanted to remind people that Sitka High School is still looking for housing for 75 students for the Region 5 Music Fest. It will be housing from Wednesday, April 18th. They arrive in the evening that night, and they'll depart Sunday, midday on the 22nd. And this is just the biggest event of the in the school calendar in the spring. And housing is kind of an ongoing tradition in Southeast Alaska, bringing these students into our homes. They're not at home much. They're at school most of the day. And they don't even really need a bed. Just Mike says a place to roll out a sleeping bag is just fine. You can call Mike at 966-1956 to help out. That's just part of the Alaskan experience.
It is. You know, when I very first came to Alaska, some people on the ferry said, come home with us. And they were in Ketchikan, actually. Mm-hmm. And I went home with these people and spent the night at their house. And it's the Alaska way.
Sure. Peggy, you are here with a couple of other authors.
I am. I'm here with Nicole Stellan O'Donnell, whose first book just came out. She went into the Alaska and Polar Regions collection and found a cache of letters to and from one of the first women who came to Fairbanks during the Gold Rush, and got the idea to write this book, and she wrote a novel in poems. And so she has letters, and then she also has poems in the voice of this woman and her sons and her alcoholic husband and her lover.
Okay.
So quite a few letters. Interesting.
A novel in poems.
So it has a storyline, a very strong storyline, but it's written in the form of poems.
That's interesting. I've heard of one other book, I think it was called Golden Gate, that was actually a novel written in epic poetry.
That's right.
Style, but this is sort of vignettes through the poems.
It's got a storyline that encompasses the whole book, but some of the poems themselves are lyric moments, but some of them are little stories.
That's a really interesting idea.
It is so fun, and it bends genres a little bit, so the craft is interesting, but the storyline and the characters are interesting as well.
Okay, and that's Nicole Stellan O'Donnell. And where's Nicole from?
She lives in Fairbanks. She is one of the BP Teachers of the Year at Lathrop High School, and she teaches AP English and Creative Writing.
Okay, and the other author with you?
Is Amber Flora Thomas, who has been teaching at UAF for the last 6 years. Her book is called The Rabbits Could Sing, and it's a very interesting book because it deals with the aftermath of violence and rape, but it also deals with tenderness and how we live in relationship with one another. It's very visual because Amber's the child of a visual artist. Her mother's a painter, her aunt is a painter, her dad's a sculptor, and that comes. Those things feature pretty heavily in her work.
Is this also a first novel for
this
her?
This is not a novel. It's a book of poems, and second book. Amber's first book won the Cave Canem Prize, and Cave Canem is a national organization by and for African-American writers, and the older writers mentor the younger writers and help them figure out what this is all about.
All right, and it's no coincidence that you're here in Sitka traveling with these two other Alaskan writers. As Alaska's writer laureate, you get to design how you will use this honor, right?
That's correct. And for example, when John Straley had this honor, the Sitkin John Straley, he chose to work with at-risk youth. And the joke he made was, I once was an at-risk youth, so I chose to use my time that way. When Nancy Lord held this post just before me, she had just helped the people of Homer build a new library. So she worked with communities who needed to learn how to raise money for a library, how to negotiate with an architect, how to get the building done. And she helped people all over Alaska strengthen their libraries. And I've chosen to focus my efforts on helping Alaskan writers find their audiences. So sometimes that means touring with people, like I'm doing right now. Sometimes it means helping their books come into print.
Right. I was, when you walked into the studio this morning, we weren't on the air, but we were chatting a little bit about this. I'm just sort of going through the Rolodex. When you name Nancy Lord and John Straley, of course, very important Alaska writers, but I also, had a little talk about Seth Kantner, who wrote Ordinary Wolves, and I also think about Lynn Schooler, a writer down here in Southeast Alaska. I think he lives in Juneau. These are people who don't sort of fit the traditional sort of literary mold. You don't see them coming out of academia. I remember when I interviewed Lynn Schooler, when I called him up, he was literally driving a truckload of lumber somewhere, and he pulled over off the side of the road to give me an interview over his cell phone. But Alaskan literature is, I mean, it comes from a unique sort of place, but it's no less literature.
Oh, it's absolutely more so, because people here write about our everyday lives, and to most people in the rest of the world, those lives are exotic. In fact, I was sort of startled when my first poems from, when after I came to Alaska, my first poems that were published, one reviewer said, if you like exotica, this is for you. And I thought, I'm writing about my neighbors. I'm writing about my everyday life. So it was peculiar to me. But we have writers working all over this state. The farthest north one that I know is Debbie Dahl Edwardson, who wrote a really beautiful book called My Name Is Not Easy. It's being marketed as a young adult book, but it's a good read for anybody. It deals with three Inupiaq boys who get sent to boarding school at Copper Center. And apparently it was based on her husband and his brothers. But it's a great read, and I recommend it. And we have people in Southeast writing. We have people out in Dillingham. We have people in the smallest villages and the biggest towns. And every one of those voices deserves to be part of the conversation.
Peggy, do you have a short poem selected that you could read right now for us?
This is a poem that came from two things. My friend Kes Woodward is a painter, and usually his paintings are of birch trees, but this time he showed us one single set of ski tracks going into the woods, and here's what came from my imagination after looking at his painting. It occurs to me that when we write or when we make music, when we create, we're part of a conversation that started long before we were born and that will continue long after we're dust. So this is the poem. Long before we got here, long after we're gone. In the season, blue-white sun barely lifts above the ridge, limps along the horizon, then dives out of sight. We're changed each day by light. Someone who's gone before broke trail, set tracks. With the right kick wax, we make our way among birch, breathing hard, rare, frosted light. We make of light arpeggio crystals, caribou dance fans, shush of bristles. One moment made alive, human, unafraid. All that's lost, not gone.
Nice. I was actually thinking about, a little weird image sort of popped into my mind. There's a Robert Frost poem about no more apple picking for today. And I don't know if there's a parallel there about the images that in our daily experience that sort of evoke our passage through life. That I had a kind of strong sense of that as you were reading.
Well, thank you. That's pretty heady company.
Oh.
But you know, Nicole was talking last night just about that, how she didn't want to write about herself, and she didn't want her personal life to be part of the poems, and so she went and did research and wrote about someone else, and she said, and then I discovered I was writing about myself all the time, the whole way along, because no matter what we write about, we filter it through our imagination. And I know one fiction writer who says, everything I write is autobiographical, especially the material that has no direct bearing on my experience.
Interesting. Peggy, I can't think of a better segue. We've got to go to the Writer's Almanac.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Next with Garrison Keillor. There's also going to be a bit of writing from a Sitka fifth grader, a This I Believe essay. Skylar McIntyre has an essay for us this morning on the power of grandparents.
Wonderful.
This morning. So that's all coming up. And hopefully there'll be time for you and I to come back and have just a little brief chat before we head back to Morning Edition and local news and everything that everybody expects during this 30th anniversary celebration of radio. Peggy Shoemaker is Alaska's writer laureate and my celebrity guest co-host.
Thanks so much.